What do you want to play, Sam?
We're going to play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We're all going to sing it, too.
Welcome in to episode 3 of Meet Me at Mutual. Daniel Shoptaw here from C70th Bat, and I've got John Nagel from Cardinals Farm hanging out with me again this evening. We apologize for missing last weekend, technical difficulties and life difficulties and all the other things, but we're here now and we'll be here probably again at the end of the week, so you'll be excited for a double dose, I'm sure. Let us just go ahead and, well, let me first ask John how he is doing tonight and make sure that he's okay before we get started. John, you all right?
I'm doing good, Daniel. Just counting down the days of school left. We got, down here, we got two more.
Two more.
So, even, you know, I like to tell my friends who aren't teachers that, you know, I think the teachers get more excited about the end of the year than the students do, for sure.
Very possible. My kids have 2 days as well, and... I was at their school Friday, and the teachers do seem to have a little more of a spring to their step as the days get closer to that summer vacation. So we'll be thinking about you in these last few days, and hopefully it'll be a quick one. So
yeah.
All right. Well, let's go on into Redbird Rewind.
McCarver, the first one. Now his infielders all over him. A new world's record of 17 strikeouts in one game.
This week, as pretty much every week is with the Cardinals, just kind of a sum up, sum down, nothing just outstanding. Since we talked last, the Cardinals... they lost the series against the Dodgers 2-1, beat the Rockies 2-1, lost the series against the Diamondbacks 2-1. John, it seems like, and I know we talk about consistency and all this other stuff, but this week I don't know that there's any one thing to put your hand on, except that there was nothing to put your hand on.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing that stood out for me was the lack of consistency in the starting pitching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're starting to see guys, you know, Garcia had a rough outing and Carlos Martinez had a rough outing. And that's, you know, was supposed to be the strength of this club. And it's just, they can't seem to string together some quality starts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've kind of was talking a little bit about it, with Tara on Gateway to Baseball Heaven on Sunday night, or last night. You know, we were counting so far hard on Garcia and Martinez at the beginning of the year because they were the ones doing well, and Wainwright and Walker were struggling, and Leak was bad, and now it's kind of been that Mike Leak seems to be the guy that's you can count on, at least for the last three starts. Wainwright starting to maybe get a hold of himself here a little bit. A very good outing against the Rockies. A pretty good outing tonight. Not as good as we'd like to see out of a Wainwright, but it wasn't. It kept the team in the game.
You know, I'm going to stop you there because I think we're to the point where he goes 6 innings tonight, gave up 3 runs, and we're
just a little short of 6, I think.
Yeah, and we're calling that a good start. You know, it's better than it has been for Wainwright, you know, and maybe he's, you know, these improvements are coming, but you're right, he's getting there, and you know, as you mentioned, I think Mike Leake has been the best the last 3 times through. I think I saw something that says his ERA is under 1 in his last 3 starts.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he gave up maybe 1 run at all in total in those 3 games. Wainwright did go 6. I was thinking Mike Matheny went out with 1 out left in the 6th, but left him in, and Wainwright got the last out. You're right. I mean, it used to be 3 runs in 6 innings. I mean, that's a quality start, but we wouldn't think that's a down thing for Wainwright. And I guess he looked a little bit better tonight. I don't, you know, the numbers weren't quite what we'd like to see, but he felt better. But
right,
again,
right,
that bar is low, like you said. And then you've got Waka and you've got Martinez and Garcia, who have seemingly hit a bump of some sort. It's, again, I don't know that there's an answer to that except for running those guys back out there, because it's not like, even if you had, and we'll talk about Alex Reyes here later on in the show, but even if you had an Alex Reyes ready to go, I don't know that you could just, you know, drop one of those guys, move them into the bullpen or anything like that. Those are guys that are going to have to start with this team, I think, no matter what, unless they wind up getting traded or something.
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier, you know, kind of thinking about our Reyes talk for later, and it's one of those things where, you know, unless somebody's hurt or really struggling, there's not going to be a spot for him. And so you've got your five, and I don't see much changing from there, like you just said.
On the offensive side of things, it wasn't completely feast or famine. The Cardinals didn't get shut out or anything. This week, I don't remember that. No, I think they scored in every game.
They had some good games. 13 runs, 11 runs, 6. I'm sorry, 13, 7, 6, and then, you know, last night was a little rough, but they've had some good ones.
Yeah, and somewhat of that is, I don't know that you could call it correlation or causation or anything of that nature, but we finally have seen Alamedes Diaz moved up in the lineup, and he's sitting second behind Matt Carpenter. It seems like, again, I'm not sure the results have been there completely, although he's had some good at-bats. You know, had a sacrifice fly tonight. I think he had an RBI single maybe on Saturday out of that spot. It just feels like that's going to make this lineup better, hitting in that spot, and maybe with that tandem of him and Matt Carpenter get going, you know, maybe we're going to see a lot of guys, you know, a lot of chances there.
And I think, you know, if you look at the first four, you know, that they had tonight, that is seemingly going to be the first four, it looks like, for a while, with Carpenter, Diaz, Holiday, and Piscotty. I mean, that's four tough at-bats that a pitcher has to go through. You know, they're not any easy outs there. They're all going to, you know, they're all going to get on base, and you know, they're not going to strike out. And so that's a good way to start the lineup. It was funny. I was listening last week to 920, CBS 920, and they have the writer's block with Derek Gould and Ben Fred and Hockman. And, you know, it was after the first game that Diaz was moved up to the number two spot. And I think it was Ben Fred asked Gould, you know, did you talk, you know, is Diaz okay? You know, almost making a joke of moving him up. Did he handle it? And it's like, yes, he can handle hitting in the two spot. So I think, you know, that first four, I think that can take a toll on opposing pitchers, because, you know, that's four batters in a row that aren't going to be easy outs.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, even if Matt Holiday is not what he used to be, and I think that's
right,
a fair statement, no matter what you think of Holiday season.
Right.
He is a guy that typically battles and can hit mistakes, and hit
right,
mistakes very hard, so you do have to pay attention to that. You know, I think there's a very good debate about whether he should be hitting third in the lineup just because of some of the issues that he has, but you're right. He definitely will make pitchers at least pay attention, if nothing else, by reputation's sake. So it should make for a more consistent lineup. Then you see people like, you know, Matt Adams is hitting well over the last little bit, hit a home run, hit the big home run tonight, hitting. You know, I've seen some stats, and I haven't pulled them. I'd have to pull them up that kind of indicate that Colton Wong has hit better over the last couple of weeks as well.
I actually looked that up a little bit earlier, and, you know, in May, I'm trying to remember what it was. His OPS is over 800, mm-hmm. And, you know, he's been one of the best hitters in May. So, you know, he's that new 8-spot hitter that I think he's a better fit there than Diaz.
So you're looking at, there's not a whole lot of just obvious weak spots right now. I mean, there are people that, you know, Randall Grichuk isn't doing, I mean, bar except for the home run that he hit tonight to win the ball game, has scuffled somewhat. But even so, even over the last 10 games or so, he's hitting 250, which is much better than he'd been hitting on the year. you know, you've got Molina is still hitting well. It's a lineup that, on the most part, should be able to put up two or three runs, if, you know, maybe four runs, even against good pitching. And we saw that tonight. I mean, Lackey is Lackey in Busch Stadium. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But they had one run off of him and probably could have, it felt like there were chances to get another one. They just didn't get the key hit, which is better than having no chance at all, I guess. So it's going to be interesting if this lineup can, I mean, we've obviously seen offense before, but it's not necessarily been consistent. Do you think maybe that we're going to see a little more consistency going down the stretch?
I think we have to. I mean, yeah, it's the, you know, the pieces are there. I think it's just been a little confusing that they haven't been more. Now, you know, after tonight, they're three games above 500. So, I mean, it's not, you know, they're not falling apart. You know, they're still, you know, take two or three. You know, I mean, I guess it's, you know, going back to the beating the good teams. You know, they did that tonight. So, yeah, I think we'll start to see it. And we'll start to see, you know, more quality starts, hopefully, and see some of these pitchers turn it around. And you know, hopefully we'll see that, you know, that above 500 record, you know, slowly get up, you know, 4, 5, 6, you know, eventually. And, you know, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I think the high water mark has been 3 so far this year. And so they're right there. If they can, you know, get a game tomorrow, then they can set the new high for the year. And it is comforting. I mean, they just went and lost a series to a team that was under 500, which made you kind of think, you know, what's going on here? So to come out and take the first one against the Cubs team that is not the Cubs team we saw earlier, obviously they've had a little bit of a bad stretch right now, but they're still the league leaders. It's still a team that you need to go out and beat to take the first one. It's got to give a little bit of spring to their step for the rest of the series.
Yeah, the Cubs have, you know, they're 2-6 over the last 8. So, I mean, they're showing you that they're beatable and, you know, they're going through a little slump of their offense is struggling a little bit. So, you know, we can take advantage of it and take the series.
That would be very nice. But again, it's going to require a lot better starting pitching than we've seen out of most everybody. So, you know, Michael Walker goes tomorrow night. He's got to go. I mean, what, his last two starts, he's gone 4 innings and given up 6 runs in each. I mean, that's terrible. And I mean, we're seeing that ramifications a little bit on the bullpen. You know, we saw Jonathan Broxton have to give up 5 runs. We saw Ruben Tejada have to pitch because these guys are getting too many innings. They need that workhorse. They need Walker to go 6 at least, if not 7, and these guys to really not cut it off after 4 or 5, which is what we've seen too much of.
Right. Yeah. And it's eventually, as you said, it's going to wear the bullpen. And, you know, for the most part, the bullpen's been pretty solid. And the last thing we need right now is a worn down bullpen.
Absolutely. I mean, there, at least on the flip side, there are possibilities in Memphis for the bullpen.
Right.
You know, you've talked about them last week with Tui Lavala and Sokolovich and people like that, although I've not looked at their stats to see, but they do have experience in the bullpen. So if you had to, you could start mixing and matching, but I don't think you really want to. These are the guys that are very effective, and you don't want to see them get burned out. We've also seen some from Mr. Kickheffer. We talked about him some last week as he had just gotten called up the last time we did this. If you've gotten a chance to see him on the big scale, I know you've seen him in the minors. I mean, what do you think? Is he going to be able to stick around?
I think he's someone who can stick around. And, you know, kind of, we talked about him being a, you know, more of a left-handed, specialist. And I mean, he's only, what, 5 innings into his career. Mm-hmm. And, he's, you know, I mean, he's faced right-handers 11 times, left-handers 9 times, and, you know, they each have 2 hits off of him. So, I mean, we're still early in, 5 innings in. I mean, he's going to be a quality arm out of that bullpen. And, you know, again, we don't want to see overuse out of him. But he's going to be a guy who I think can, you know, if you got a tough lefty, Joey Votto or, you know, Anthony Rizzo, I would feel comfortable throwing him out there.
Yeah, I think that's it's going to be kind of interesting to see how they use it because, like, you know, we did talk about him being that left-handed guy, and then immediately, almost immediately, they said they planned on using him as a more traditional reliever, and that's what they've done so far. You know, he's said five innings, but he's pitched in five games. It's a you know, pretty much an inning out each time out. So, you know, not necessarily the highest of leverages, but he can work to that. So, it's nice to have those options, and we're still not. I mean, you know, this is a bullpen that we expected to have Jordan Walden in. I'm assuming, given the whole lack of the fact that his name hasn't been mentioned in like 6 weeks, that we're probably not going to see Walden again this year. So, having a guy like Kiefer come in and be able to replace that weak link that Seth Maness was, is a big deal. Yeah, anything else? I think we saw, and you said we saw some good plays. I think tonight's probably the game that's the best out of the stretch that we've been talking about, with the rally and then the walk-off home run to win the ball game. That game against the Rockies, I guess, you know, where they rallied a little bit, you know, Walker lost it, but they came back. That was a good thing to see as well.
Right. Yeah. And you know, kind of going back to the bullpen a little bit, you know, I think, you know, working our way through this bullpen, there's going to be I feel like there's got to be a move made soon. I mean, you've got, you know, O and Segrist and Rosenthal on the back end, and then you have, you know, Bowman and Lyons are kind of in, you know, more on the front, I guess. And then you have Kike for, I'm not missing anybody, am I? I think that's it.
I think that's
it's, you got three lefties in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we talk about fatigue of the bullpen, and I could see that becoming a problem pretty soon. But, you know, it's nights like, you know, looking at the bullpen usage tonight, you love to see Mike throw out there Trevor Rosenthal in the ninth inning of a tie game just for what exactly happened, you know, for the walk-off. It was good to see.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, it's one thing we also probably could talk about in relation to this week. You know, Rosenthal struggled a little bit this week, and we talked about it as well last week, of course, after his really melting down against the Angels. There's been discussion about him not pitching enough. I wrote about it in the blog today. It seems like when he gets 2 days of rest is what his worst is. That was tonight. He worked his way out of it. The double play by Matt Carpenter really helped. That ball drops, you know. That's a blown opportunity, because that run probably scores and things go differently. But thankfully it didn't. I didn't watch Trevor too much in that last inning, but it seemed like he a little bit better, a little bit more command. Do you think that's it? I mean, does he have to pitch more, or is there something more underlying that?
Yeah, I think he's got to go more than, you know, every third day or so. You know, looking at his last 10 outings, he gave up the two runs against the Diamondbacks on, what was that, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been clean since then, in the last 10. You know, he's had some issues with walks for sure. But I think, you know, and he's had some big gaps in between there, 3 days, you know, another 3 days, 4 days, you know, five or six days. So I think the more he pitches, you know, and we got to use that loosely, right? I mean, we don't want him throwing, you know, three straight days and whatnot. But I think he's got to get more in more of a rhythm.
That's probably true. Like I said, I was very surprised. And again, I'm looking at his days rest splits just for 2016, so they're very limited. I mean, there's like one or two games in there, but you know, the only time he'd ever given up runs was at two. I mean, he pitches 3, 4, 5 days rest. He actually had better control and didn't give up anything. But again, that's like one inning or something, so it's hard to say that that's anything definitive. We'll see. You're right. We'd like to see him out there every other day, pretty much locking down wins.
Right.
The Cardinals win 2 out of 3 every day, and we're good shape. And that's part of the deal. That's the team hasn't, you know, they win a lot or they lose by a lot, and it doesn't seem to give him as many opportunities. So we will see if he continues to struggle when he's pitching a little bit more regularly. Then we're going to have to do something else. It hit me weird because, you know, they said the same thing about Seth Maness. Of course, Seth Maness turned out to be hurt, and then you hear the same excuse for Rosenthal, and I don't say excuse in a negative way, just trying to explain what's going on.
Right.
It's like, well, if these guys aren't pitching enough, where's that lie? I mean, that's got to be on Mike Matheny, doesn't it?
Yeah. And that's a, you know, balancing a bullpen, that's a tough job, and you know, I'm glad I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and that, you know, because as soon as you pitch Rosenthal in a game like Saturday, you know, where he gave up two runs and threw 30 innings, threw 30 pitches, you know, then he's out for Sunday when you might actually need him. It's definitely a balancing act that the best can do, the worst can't, and Mike Matheny sometimes seems to fall somewhere in the middle on that. I think that's about it for this last week to 10 days, don't you? Is there anything else that you thought of while looking at the games?
No, I don't think so. I think we hit it pretty well.
All right, well, let's then shift to our up the middle segment.
Alisea, the second for one, the double play. What a double play by Ozzie Smith. Oh, mercy.
And today's up the middle, we're going to talk, as most people have been, a little bit about the roster situation that the Cardinals are about to find themselves in. We'll probably start with Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham was activated off the DL last week and immediately optioned to Memphis to play. Also last week, we saw Johnny Peralta go on a rehab assignment. I think today was day three. He can only be down there for 20 games. The clock is ticking, especially on Peralta, probably on Pham somewhat. I don't know that they want him to be in Memphis for an extended period of time, although he can be. Let's take Peralta first, because that's the most pressing issue. I think it's pretty obvious that when Peralta's ready, they just waive Ruben Tejada. I don't think there's any really debate there. But how do they juggle the playing time of Peralta, Diaz, Wong, who we've talked about is hitting better, you know, people like Matt Adams at first, and then, you know, Matt Carpenter? That whole infield seems like it's going to be, you know, kind of a complete juggling act.
Yeah, and, you know, when they sent Peralta down to Peoria, they, you know, I read somewhere that, you know, he was going to play third and short, so I think that's kind of a, you know, just to kind of move him all over. And I don't know what they're going to do, especially now that Wong is hitting and you're getting production out of Moss and Adams. It's going to be an interesting dilemma that they're going to face. And you have to wonder, and you know, I hate to be the trade talk guy, but you have to wonder, you know, Matt Adams, and we've talked about this before, he, you know, of the two first basemen, he's probably the better one to deal. And he's, you know, he's playing pretty well now. And you have to wonder if they're trying to see what they can get for him, you know, some more arms, I would think. And if maybe that's the way to go, I don't know. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. You look at that, and like I said, when Wong wasn't hitting, it was a little bit more
right.
I mean, you still had juggled the fact that you gave a big contract to him and things of that nature. You didn't want to bury Wong, but at least you could see Carpenter shifting over there, Peralta playing third, you know, kind of a, you know, every couple of days type of thing. But with Wong hitting, and like I said, Adams hitting better than expected, and perhaps, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, it's easy to say you play the hot hand, but I think some of that playing the hot hand is because they're getting the playing time to become hot. It's kind of, you know, chicken or the egg type of thing. I figure Peralta's going to play quite a bit when he comes up because of, you know, reputation and past history and, you know, contract and things of that nature. But you also wonder how much is Peralta going to give you. I mean, we've seen what Molina has had issues with that thumb after coming back from surgery. I mean, you're not going to get the Johnny Peralta that hit 20 home runs in the first half last year.
Right. And you know, I think, as you mentioned, he's going to get the playing time. You don't want to bring him up and not get him consistent playing time, at least to start, and see where we go from there. I kind of think the two easiest choices somewhere on the infield are going to be Peralta and Carpenter. I think from there it's going to get a little tricky. Now, where they play, who knows at this point.
Yeah, and it would be somewhat nice to see. I don't say this in a negative way, just for his health and stuff, that we would see some more days off for Matt Carpenter. We saw last year that him running into the, you know, fatigue issue. we haven't seen that this year. I mean, Carpenter seems to be doing fine, but you know, there are days where he could take a rest, and hopefully everybody else could pick up the slack. I know Matt Carpenter doesn't like to be taken out, but nobody likes to be sitting on the bench for the most part, except maybe that one guy that knows he's overwhelmed and is getting paid and he'd like to sit there a while. But there's not many of those kind of guys in the major league.
Right.
So, you know, I think that maybe Matheny's going to have to sit him a little bit more. But then again, you know, he does seem to be one of those cogs in this offense that as he goes, the team goes.
And, you know, talk about sitting Matt Carpenter, you know, last season in the playoffs, the big problem at the end was they just ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it seems like they're built this year that you can give guys more days off and hopefully not have that issue if we're lucky to make it that far. You know, I don't think we're quite there. We don't have the depth on with the arms yet, but, you know, it's good to see that, yes, you can give Matt Carpenter, you know, a day off occasionally and you can not miss much of a beat.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, he hasn't had a full day off. He may have had a game or two where he didn't start, but pinch hit later on. But he hasn't had a full day off at all this season. And again, I mean, he's got 9 home runs. His average isn't where it normally is, but his OPS is at a career high right now. So it's tough to take him out of lineup very often, but you know, a day or two here and there can make a big difference when, like you say, you get to October and don't have anything. This is why we're supposed to have this roster. And you know, again, it's like Mike, you know, Yadier Molina doesn't get very many days off, even though they continue to say that. You know, we don't see Matt Carpenter get days. It's like they talk a lot about resting guys. They don't,
but
ever
they don't actually do it.
Right. Absolutely.
Right.
And, you know, and I know in the past, I think that's been somewhat the players talking Mike Matheny into it, Mike Matheny being this player's
mm-hmm.
manager.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they run out of gas again in October this year, after having so many interchangeable parts, there's going to have to be a change of some sort.
And it, you know, goes back to the whole Wainwright thing about, you know, not pulling them, you know, mound visit, but not pulling them.
Mm-hmm.
At some point you have to, you know, tell these guys, no, we need to sit you, or no, you need to come out of the game. It's what's best for the team. And I don't understand. Yes, you want to, you know, you want to be a player's manager, but you also want to do what's best for the team. And you're right. And if that happens again, there's going to be, not that there's already not a lot of, you know, second guessing the manager, mm-hmm. but it's not going to help.
No. And I mean, you know, there is that fine line between keeping confidence in your players, and if they've got confidence, they can produce. But on the other side, knowing what this, you know, being realistic about the situation, like tonight, we were talking about that, you know, Adam Wainwright with 5 2/3, and he's got, what, I think 2 men on, and Chris Bryant at the plate. And I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's a situation where, yes, Adam Wainwright can get him out, and he did get him out. He had a little grounder number that he was able to get take care of it. But Chris Bryant could also very easily take a tired Adam Wainwright out of the ballpark, and this game is completely over. It seemed like a very risky thing to leave Wainwright in there. It worked out, which probably is definitely a good thing for Cardinal fans. May not be a good thing for, you know, decision making in the future.
Right.
But yeah, it does seem to be one of those things where Mike's not going to have that. You know, he's going to try to support the players as much as he can, and sometimes to the detriment of the team.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And I know we're kind of getting back to the roster questions. I don't know if you are the, you know, I don't know if you want to move over to Tommy Pham a little bit, and kind of talking about the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's got to be on this club. You know, Jeremy Hazelbaker is struggling lately, and you know, I feel like, you know, and so is Grichuk, and you know, Pham, you know, while he may not be the best everyday center fielder, you know, good pinch hit bat and defensive center fielder, I think I'll be curious to see if you agree with this, that he needs to be on this club.
I think at some point in time he does. I don't know that I would put him there right now, just because I'd like to see him get the regular at bats to get some of that back up. I mean, you
right,
know,
right. I'll agree with you.
Because he's not going to get them in St. Louis. I mean, he's going to be the fourth outfielder at best, and he'll play here and there. But if he can get his stroke going in Memphis, then, yeah, I think that he does need to probably be on this team. He brings a little bit of something different. You know, Hazel Baker has been a good story. We also kind of knew that Hazel Baker had a limited shelf life.
Right.
And that seems to be the case now. And to be fair, you know, Mike seems to be playing him a little bit less as a starter, not entirely, but a little bit less. But, you know, he was hitting 300 at May 7th. He's hitting, you know, 262 now, not counting tonight's game. That's a very rough way of looking at things, obviously. And he does have 7 home runs, but there's only 2 in May. It's not that what have you done for me lately, but it is somewhat that. And if Pham can find his stroke in Memphis and look like the player that we have seen in the big leagues, then yeah, I think you have to make that move. You know, it's a little bit difficult to say, you know, kick Jeremy Hazelbaker to the curb, because he does still provide value to this team as well, but Pham probably provides more. That's a situation that seems like, along with some of this infield stuff, may just have to take a trade to clear it up one way or another, and I don't know what that trade is. But it feels like, you know, maybe somebody's got to move to say, okay, we're going to go with this guy.
Yeah, I agree. And, there's a lot of questions. And, you know, they're not necessarily bad questions about, you know, with these guys coming back. And you know, these are good things. Yes, 3 games above 500, but these are good conversations to be having, I feel like.
I think that's true. And I think that Mo may do some stuff. I mean, again, it's not going to be anything until probably early July, you know, most likely late July. And I often feel sometimes that general managers, not just Mo, but some others as well, seem to take for too long to make their moves. That they wait till that end of July, and then you only have like a month or maybe 2 out of the player. Whereas if you'd made the trade, you know, 2 or 3 weeks beforehand, maybe you'd have made up that ground you needed to. And I think Mo's going to have to do something this year. And we've said that before. You know, we've had all this pitching depth. Oh, Mo's got to ship some of that out. Well, and very rarely does he.
Right.
You know, baseball is a funny thing, but I feel like he's got to do something. And maybe he'll be creative. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll put a Jaime Garcia and a couple of the hitters together for some big star. But that's the problem is, you know, what do you get back, and who's available to get back? It's pretty easy to say we need to clear some of this inventory, but I don't know what you get in return.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we can throw out hypotheticals all day, but it's an interesting, you know, he's going to do something, you know, the level of, you know, return, you know, as we've seen in the past, they've been, supporting cast, you know, type players. And I don't think we should expect much more than that this year. It'll just be interesting to see, you know, where the moves are made at.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see what it could be either. You know, there's not an obvious person out there on the free agent market, or the going to be free agent market, you know, that those people that are only going to be around for a couple more months. Maybe he's looking at a guy that he gets more control on, but if that's the case, that kind of opens it up to just about anybody that you could think
right.
of. So it's difficult to know what he's going to do, but it does feel like that something's going to have to happen to break some of this gridlock here. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Johnny Peralta comes back and hits well for 2 or 3 weeks, and, you know, Mo starts to ship him because he's got a good contract. He front-loaded the contract for this purpose was to trade him later on. Not entirely, but that's part of the idea. He'd be tradable. I mean, as much as you hate to put all your eggs in the Alamedes Diaz basket, you know, that basket's looking a little bit bigger and a little bit more sturdy than it used to.
Right, and you know, I think we're getting to the point with him that it's like, okay, maybe he is legit. You know, defensively, obviously, there's been a lot of questions, but I think offensively, he's ready. He's there.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, again, everybody keeps talking about the roster. Everybody wants to know and has opinions about who should go and who should be waived. I saw one link today. I didn't read the article, but you know, it was talking about sending Randall Grichuk to Memphis, which seems very, very, very unlikely.
Right.
Not impossible. We saw, you know, but very, very unlikely. It seems to me that if you're going to do a Memphis move, it's pretty much got to be Hazel Baker. But if you're going to do a trade move, then that does free up some other things. So, and I think that some of what we might see farther on and some of what things that may come out of trades or encourage Mo to trade may come out of, well, the person we're going to talk about now in the futures report.
0-1 to Pujols. In the air, left field, and Pujols has given St. Louis the lead. A dramatic, towering three-run home run. Stunned in disbelief here in Houston.
Tonight's futures report is a very timely one. Mr. Nagel is going to inform us all about Alex Reyes, who has come off his suspension and pitched yesterday for Memphis, his first game off in 2016. The marijuana suspension is now over, and we can focus on Reyes on the field. So let's talk about him.
Yeah, so he started for Memphis yesterday, went four innings, allowed two hits, three walks, struck out eight, no runs, threw 85 pitches. And, you know, for people to believe that he, you know, is just coming in, you know, I guess cold, that's not the case. You know, in Florida, you know, they're having extended spring training. And so, you know, he's been starting every fifth day, you know, keeping his pitch count up. So he should fit right in to that Memphis rotation. And, you know, the four innings, 85 pitches in four innings, that's something you don't want to see. And, you know, he's kind of had a habit of that in the past. And you know, that's something that obviously won't go over very well. But a pretty solid debut, to say the least, for Alex Reyes.
The knock on Reyes, at least from John Mozeliak's point of view when we talked about it at the blogger day, was that Reyes still needs to transition from a thrower to a pitcher, that he needs to be, I guess, a little more strategic with his pitches instead of just rearing back and throwing 100 miles per hour, which, you know, rearing back and throwing 100 miles per hour is not a bad thing, obviously, but it will get hit at the major league level. I mean, it's one start, so it's really hard to tell. Is there any idea of what we should maybe look for going forward to see if he's making that transition?
I think two things, and you know, his strikeouts. I mean, eight strikeouts over four innings, that's great, but that's going to be way too many pitches. You know, he's got a it's like a fine line. It's a fine line. You know, you want to see the strikeouts, but I guess on the other hand, you don't want to see too many, especially a guy like him who he can throw a lot of pitches. And you know, he's gotten by in the past with blown hitters away, and like you just mentioned, he's not going to be able to do that at the highest level. So I think being able to, you know, and also, you know, the injury risk is there. If he's throwing 100 miles an hour at every pitch, you know, he's got to take some off sometimes too, until he can start to do that and, you know, locate his fastball a little bit better and his off speed stuff. You know, I think that's what we need to watch, his walks and his strikeouts. We want to make sure his walks don't get too high, and you know, kind of along the same lines, his strikeouts don't get too high.
Yeah, or if, I mean, you can, I guess you can pull up the strikeouts as long as you're doing it in three or four pitches.
Sure.
It's those full count strikeouts,
right,
that tends to be the problem.
Right.
What does, I mean, and I should probably know this, but what is Reyes throwing besides the fastball? That, I mean, I know he's got more to his repertoire that's got some really quality stuff.
He's got his curveball is if his fastball is, you know, I don't know what you would classify a great pitch, his curveball is right there with it. It's a 12-6 curve. It's tough to go from a, you know, a 99 mile an hour fastball to that. And then I think he's working on a changeup too, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, the Cardinals have a pretty good, you know, system for changeups. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, Carlos Martinez has developed one as well. So I think he's got a pretty good 1-2 punch there in the fastball and the curveball.
Yeah, and like you said, when you can throw 100, and if you can throw a changeup in there that go 90 or whatever, you're still doing well. Slower than that, it's even better. So, he could pitch in extended spring. I was fairly interested to see that the suspension was for he could not play on any team that they charged money for people to see it. that was the technical way. So that's why he couldn't play in spring training, but he could play in these extended spring training games. Right. Is there a chance of him coming up before September, or is it pretty much going to have to be September or later for him?
I think it just depends on if there's a need. And if the starting five stay healthy there's not one that just tanks, I think he would start. His first major league action would come out of the bullpen. And again, there has to be a need. I don't know if there will be one before September. So, I would say probably now that we're looking at September.
Mm-hmm. It seemed, like I said earlier, you could almost see a Jaime Garcia trade, things of that nature. But it would seem to me that Reyes would need to be a lot farther along for them to feel comfortable. Even if they were traded Garcia and didn't want Reyes to come up immediately, we still don't have those obvious, even the quad A guys filling in. It would only have to be for 3 or 4 starts or something like that. And it doesn't look like Reyes is going to be that close.
No, I don't think, unless they get an offer that they can't refuse with Jaime Garcia, I don't see that happening. And if he makes starts with the Cardinals, it's because of an injury, I think, at this point.
Any other minors news to go along with that for this week?
I don't think so, Daniel. I think that's all I've got for you.
Well, we'll take it, because that's pretty important stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, I know people have been talking about Reyes for a long time, and Mo was very high on him when we were talking to him. So, we get excited about wanting to see him, but it's going to be a bit.
There was a I believe it was on Monday today that the Peoria Chiefs starting pitcher Sandy Alcantara, he struck out 14 batters over 6 innings, and he's one to watch. He's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a pretty live arm too. He may be one of the next big ones to come through the system. 14 strikeouts in 6 innings. Pretty impressive stuff. I think he's got, I think I looked it up earlier, 24 strikeouts over his last 2 starts, and that's 13 innings. 24 strikeouts in 13 innings, so he's one to keep your eyes on.
Definitely. Those stats, which of course get a little inflated in the lower levels because the pitchers can be more dominant, but still, that's very impressive. And I know Mo was talking, I think he even mentioned him and maybe some other of the arms that are in that level, but mm-hmm. those are young guys that have to learn how to pitch. They got some big arms, but they've got to know how to use them as well.
And Carlos Martinez went through this when he was coming up through the system. He would walk a ton of guys, and it's just one of those things. He eventually learned, and a lot of what he learned was at the major league level about working deeper into games. So I Reyes will get there.
Yeah, and it's just, again, we get a little impatient on these prospects because we've seen not just with the Cardinals, but in so many other places, these prospects don't seem to take as long to develop as they used to. It seems like they come up fully formed and they're ready to go, and that's not always going to be the case, but we kind of get excited about thinking about it that way.
Right. Yep, I agree with you.
All right, well then let's go ahead and transition to our last segment, Swinging Away.
Tying run at second base. In the air to right center. This game is tied. Going to third is Pujols, and it's 9-9. They just won't go away.
All right. In this segment, before we do any ranting and raving that we may want to do, we did get a couple of Twitter questions this week. One of which is both of which are fairly difficult. One more than other, maybe. We have Dorp DX is our Twitter guy, and he wanted to know if Sung Mong Oh had been effectively used this year. Of course, Oh is sitting at, before he pitched tonight, an ERA of a little bit above one, and it has been all that we have expected to him. He's still not seeing the very latest of innings, but the last three times out, he's pitched the eighth. What do you think? I feels like, to me, just without looking at the stats or anything of that nature, that he's been used fairly effectively.
I think so. I feel like he's been the seventh inning guy for the most part. And, you know, Kevin Segrist is right there, too. I have no complaints with that. Looking at some stats, high leverage situations, and I'm not sure what they define as that, but we'll go with it. He's got a batting average against of 200. When he's pitched with a tie game, it's 8 at bats. He hasn't given up a hit again. We're going with small samples here. Within one run, 138 batting average against. So I feel like he's excelled pretty well, and you know, maybe you put him into the eighth inning, but I think he's doing fine where he's at.
Yeah, looking at the numbers, he's pitched 5 games in the sixth, 11 in the seventh, 8 in the eighth, and then he's pitched one in the ninth inning, and been effective pretty much the ninth inning. He gave up 2 hits in 5 innings, but that was the one time he pitched the ninth. I don't think that's any indication. So. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see, especially if we get into this idea of Rosenthal pitching, you know, trying not to make him pitch every, you know, 3 days in a row or anything like that. But, you know, Oh, I think has established himself enough to get the occasional save when Rosenthal's not available or Segrist isn't available. He's obviously proven that he can pitch late innings and be effective. I don't think... You know, there are some issues with Mike Matheny's bullpen usage, but for the most part, I think and most of the other relievers have been done fairly well this year. I don't think that they have a whole lot to complain about. Now, whether that's the case going forward, and depending on the starting pitchers and things of that nature, but it's not like we're seeing only pitching fifth or sixth, you know, very early in the ball game. He's getting some high leverage tots, and I think that's working.
Yeah, I agree. And I think those, you know, you're running through those numbers. I think those earlier appearances were probably earlier in the season. Mm-hmm. And then I think as we've gone through, he's established himself later in the games.
Yeah, yeah, because, you look at that. He pitched the sixth, his second outing, his seventh outing, just a couple of them in late April, although one of those was a really blowout game, so that may be part of just getting some work. But for the most part, yeah, he's pitching. In May, he's pitched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times, not counting tonight, and 5 of those times were the 8th inning. So, I think that's pretty impressive for him. And he can go, you know, he's proven he can go extended times, too. He's gone 2 innings a couple of times. He's gone an inning and a third a few times. I mean, he doesn't have to be limited to just one frame.
Yeah, I agree.
Our other question comes from Tara Wellman, my co-host on Gateway to Baseball Heaven, one of the UCB writers, and can be found on Bird Seeds on YouTube. And she went and asked, how do big leaguers fix bad defensive habits mid-season? That is a very good question that I'm going to let you answer.
you have to think that there's probably some video involved to see if there's, you know, a common flaw, you know, if they're, I don't know what, you know, if they're not getting to the ball, if they're not getting good reads off the bat, I don't know. And, you know, just going out there and getting more comfortable, I guess, and, you know, taking, you know, grounders and BP, that's a tough one for someone who's, you know, at the highest level and who's done it for so long. And, you know, there has to be a certain point where, you know what, whoever it is just not that good defensively. I don't know. I don't know at what point that is, but you know, I think probably to answer the question, I think, you know, looking at film, you know, seeing what did you do on this play that worked, what did you not do on this play that worked, and then trying to make sure you do whatever it was, the right thing, you know, every time.
It's also, and I don't know that it's a factor in the errors that we're seeing in the Cardinals this year, because obviously lots of things factor into to the Cardinal errors when you're leading the league in errors. It's, there's a lot of things that go into that. But you do wonder somewhat if his positioning is a good spot.
Right.
You know, a step or two in the wrong direction and you have to, you know, have to reach for a ball or you don't get it cleanly that you might have otherwise. I mean, there's something to that. And so maybe that's kind of part of the film work you're talking about as well, is seeing, you know, are we playing these guys correctly? Or do we need to be, does Diaz need to, you know, always be a little bit closer to second than we would maybe normally have Peralta or somebody else play, because that's just the way he comes at the ball? You know, I don't know. but yeah, I think repetition has to be part of that, but there's only so much you can do there. Fielding slumps as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, reading about that, I think Cal Ripken said that too. You know, fielding can go into a slump and,
sure,
you know, you just have trouble finally, you know, getting it out of it. And so you get out, eventually you get over it just like a batting slump. You just, you work your way through it. And, you know, hopefully the errors come at times where it's not a crucial, you know, game-turning situation. And you deal with it, and you hope that if you let in two, you drive in three, I guess.
And you know, it's one of those things where you can't let it, you can't think about it. And it's, you know, like a hitting slump or you know, having a hard time throwing strikes. And if it gets in your head, it's, you know, things aren't going to end up very well. And you know, it's, you got to have a short memory. You have to forget the last error and go out there and just know that you're there for a reason and you know how to make those plays.
Yeah. It's really you have to hold it lightly, because you can't completely forget it, because you have to know what you did wrong,
right,
to be able to,
sure,
correct it. But you don't want to, sure, hold the weight of you know, the pressure that goes along with those. You know, and I think it feels like I don't remember a real key error as of the last few games. I mean, there may have been one. I haven't had a chance to watch it as much, but it feels like, I don't want to say they're better, but Diaz, I think, has not made as many errors. He may be finally getting a little bit more comfortable. And that's really big, because if the shortstop can hold down the fort, then that makes everybody else all the way around better.
Yes, I agree, for sure. I had a Twitter question come in.
Oh, okay.
As we're recording, from @forever_cards, he or she wants to know about Jonathan Rodriguez, who plays for the Memphis Redbirds, if he's legit or just a good minor league player. And Jonathan Rodriguez has been in the Cardinals system since 2009. He was 26 years old, I believe. He'll turn 27 this summer. And you know, he made the news, you know, last year or a couple years ago with helping out Carlos Martinez, I believe, especially with English. Learning English, and you know, he's been a good guy in the system. He's worked his way up, and you know, I can see him being a guy who gets a shot, you know, as the Cardinals like to do, give guys who are hard workers and good system players, give them a shot. I could see him being a guy who could get that later in the season. From Memphis, he's hitting .248, has 4 home runs, 19 RBIs, over 113 at bats. So, you know, I don't think he's got a future as a major league regular, but he's definitely a quality minor leaguer and a quality teammate to have, one of those guys you need to have in the system.
Yeah, I have heard that termed as organizational soldier to some degree.
Yep.
I mean, the guy that fills the rosters out. And you're right, the Cardinals have done a pretty good job of letting those guys at least get a bit of a cup of coffee somewhere here or there, even if they're not in the long-term plan. So hopefully, maybe come September and the rosters expand, maybe they'll get a chance to do that with him going forward. So, all right, well, good. Glad we got another question. That's, you know, people are just wanting our knowledge. it's great to know. Any wrap-up rants or anything of that nature, baseball or not baseball related?
I don't think so, Dan. I just want to see some consistency this week. You know, go out there and win a couple series. And you know, get that you know, get that games over 500, get that number creeping up a little bit. And so we can start making some, you know, making some progress and playing better.
Yeah. I mean, we'll all feel a lot better if the Cardinals win, four out of six or something of that nature. And really, and especially this week, I mean, this is a tough week.
Yeah.
The Cubs, then you go to the Nationals, I think, and then you go to Milwaukee, which should be a team that you can beat up on. But, you know, to face the Cubs and Nationals for seven games, I mean, if you can go even 4-3 during that stretch with the problems that the Cardinals have had against good teams, you might take a little bit of hope and advantage of that, especially if you could take two wins against the Cubs and maybe cut a little bit into that. The Cardinals, you know, right now, six games behind the Cubs. They're only one game behind Pittsburgh, and I think we tend to overlook. I mean, I do. I don't know if everybody else does. While I'm keeping a little bit of an eye on Pittsburgh, it seems to be pretty easy to say, oh, well, we're way behind, we're doomed. You know, you're only one game behind Pittsburgh, and you're right there in that wild card race, which is not where you want to be, but, you know, it could be a lot worse, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, I think if we can keep it, you know, just win two out of three or you know, I think you're going to Washington, you know, a split, I think would be a success if you win two out of four there. Two out of three, you know, versus the Cubs, two out of four against Washington and, you know, two out of three against Milwaukee. I think, you know, that would be a successful week ahead.
Yeah. And hopefully we'll be talking about that when we get together again. Like I said, John and I are going to try to get together this weekend and give you episode four. But let us know what you think about the show. You can tweet at John at Cardinals Farm. You can tweet me at C70. You can tweet the show. Meet me at Mutual. You can, however you want. We have a Facebook page. You can find us over there. Just let us know what you think. Rate us on iTunes. Leave reviews over there. Whatever. We would like to know, you know, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We're still taking our batting practice swings as well, figuring this thing out. So, for John Nagel, I'm Daniel Shoptaw, and we'll talk at you later.
Sutter from the belt to the plate. A swing and a miss, and that's a winner! That's a winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!